Good evening, all. I'd like to open the Wednesday, March 5th, 2025, Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors meeting. And could we, Brian, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Kelly, did you do roll call?
Roll call been taken. Let the record show. All members are present.
Excellent, excellent. We are now going to go into public comment, but we have changing how we do this a bit. We are first going to be opening public comment for those on the telephone, and then closing public comment, and then opening public comment for those that are in the room. So for those on the phone, is there anyone who would like to make any public comment about anything that is not on the agenda?
There are no hands raised.
Okay, with that, we will close telephone public comment and open public comment for those in the room. If you could please come up to the podium, say your name. Thank you.
Hi, guys.
Kurt.
Hi. Kurt Barnes, Discovery Point. Really sorry I missed the Parks and Rec community today. I was unavoidably detained. There were a lot of interesting things on the agenda and probably lots of discussion. And I would humbly request that when it comes time to do the management report or the committee report, that it goes into detail about the different items that were discussed, because it takes weeks. How long does it take to get audio on the website? It takes a while. So that is all.
Is there any other public comment? Okay, we will now close public comment for those in the room, and we will go to consent calendar.
Move to approve.
I'll second.
And with that, Kelly, would you?
Director Belcher?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Gouteau?
Aye.
President Graham?
Aye. And now, area agencies reports. Do we have anyone from Diane Burgess's, our Supervisor Burgess's office, on the line? No?
No, I'm sorry.
No. Sheriff's office?
No.
Con Fire? Hello.
Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome.
Good luck with that thing. We'll get it fixed by next meeting.
Yeah.
No worries.
Just keep ducking down to keep talking into it. Yeah, it works.
Okay. No worries. Thank you. That is the we emailed over a presentation. I see it's up, so I'm just running it, but thank you.
There we go. Thank you.
So my name is Tracy Dutter. I'm one of the assistant chiefs with Contra Costa County Fire and on behalf of the fire chief and all the men and women of Contra Costa County Fire. I'm happy to be here tonight to give you an update on Con Fire. Next slide, please. So you're probably familiar with our fire district. We're an all-hazards, full-service fire district, 600 employees. That includes firefighters and civilian staff, 35 strategically placed fire stations throughout the county. We have a large apparatus fleet. We have a fire prevention bureau that includes investigations, code enforcement, plan review, public education, or advanced life support or advanced life service fire department with paramedics on every apparatus. And we have urban search and rescue and hazmat teams, and we have a regional fire and EMS communication center. Next slide, please. So in the last year, we've had a few accomplishments that I just want to run through really quickly. We host a fire academy at least one a year, sometimes two, to bring in new employees, train them up to be firefighters, put them out on the line. So last year, we had Academy 60. It included 13 fire recruits from Contra Costa County Fire, and we did an actual combined academy with Moraga Arinda. So four of the recruits were Additionally, last year we placed in service 2 new fire trucks and 6 new fire engines, just in keeping with the district's commitment to maintain our fleet and not let our apparatus, our frontline apparatus, our goal is to keep them within 10 years frontline service and then 20 years reserve service. Last year, as you know, we opened the Byron Wildland Fire Center just down the road from you. And for a few months last year, we had a helicopter out of that wildfire center. It opened at, I think we only ran it for 2 months last year with the goal of, you know, seeing how everything went and hopefully having it for the full fire season this year. That is our plan. We are working with PG&E because it is a joint public-private partnership. So we are, have already started conversations with PG&E to have it here for the full fire season. So our goal is to have it in service June 1st of this year. We completed organization-wide DEI training last year, and we also launched the Peer Support Canine Program. We put 2 canines in service as support animals, and there you see Samson and Mara. Mara is the dog, to be clear. Samson's the firefighter. And we have a second one, and I don't have a photo of her, but Mara is our other service dog. So we really are appreciating our canine support.
They're being used in the capacity of facility dogs then at the station? Is that what they're for?
They're there for support of firefighters. So they are also trained to detect cortisol, elevated cortisol levels, so stress.
Very nice.
And they will come and, you know, plant themselves.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
So,
very cool.
It's a great program.
Looks like Blair.
Next slide. Looking ahead to the next year, we have a few things planned for this year. Academy 61 is underway. You've probably heard a little bit about the Rodeo Hercules annexation. That is in process. It has been through LAFCO. The appeal process closed in January, and that will take effect July 1st of this year. The nurse navigation program is something we've been talking about for a while, but it looks like within the next few months we will hopefully be able to implement it. Nurse navigation is a third-party vendor that we plan to use to deal with some of the phone calls that we receive at our emergency communication center that are not true emergencies. So sometimes people will call 911 to get a prescription filled or to get a ride to a doctor's appointment or something that should not be taking emergency resources. And so nurse navigation is a third-party vendor where we can transfer those calls and there's a nurse that can help somebody navigate how to get what they need. We are in the middle of a communication center remodel. We are rebuilding the emergency communication center, upgrading the equipment. It is many, many years old, and we're looking forward to getting that hopefully opened in the next 12 months. We have a couple new fire stations that we are working on, too. We're going in Brentwood, and we are rebuilding the Pacheco Fire Station, which are our Fire Station 9. We have 2 new boats. We have 1 new boat on order. We have 1 we are getting ready to order. So 2 new boats are in the works at different stages. The new boat on order is actually slated to be here in Discovery Bay. When we receive it, it will probably be 18 to 24 months, depending on the manufacturer, but we are in queue for that boat. And then we're working on getting the boat going here is a fire boat, and then we're working on a rescue boat to replace the boat in Antioch.
Are those in addition to existing boats, or are they replacing boats that are going out of service?
This, the boat for Discovery Bay is the new boat, and the boat in Antioch will be a replacement.
Very good.
And then we're also working on updating flood and swift water equipment. We've outfitted a trailer with a double stack swift water truck with a double stack boat trailer, and that is at Fire Station 95 in Oakley.
The Brentwood location gave a little pushback. Is that still looking positive, or do you have any updates?
It is getting pushed back. We go to the Planning Commission March 18th, so we will see how that goes. It may be kicked to City Council, and that would happen within 40 days of that March 18th.
Is there a Plan B location, possibly? Or
no. We have to sell that land and look to purchase other land. So, no. Next slide. Looking here to Discovery Bay specifically, the next slide gets into all the different calls, but there were 2 structure fires that we responded to in the last 2 months. One in January, one in February. Both were residential fires. Next slide. And then this is just a breakdown of all of our calls for the so 135 total. Three fire calls, 99 EMS, so the largest being emergency medical services. Four hazard calls, 19 alarm sounding, and 10 public service calls.
Can I just go back one?
Yes.
Don't have to change anything, Kelly, but so the fires that were here in Discovery Bay in February and January, those both were able to be contained as a single structure, correct?
Yes.
They did not
extend past.
Which is always our concern, right? Because they're so far out here, response times and the whole thing. So those
yes.
were contained, single structure.
Yes.
Thank you.
So with wildfire season coming up, just a reminder for everyone, we have a program called Ready, Set, Go. So reminder, if anyone's not signed up for CWS alerts, make sure you do that. Know your zone, know the zone of your home, the zone of your workplace, the zone of your kids' schools, for example, anything that can be evacuated if they're in different zones, know what they are, have a go bag so if something occurs, you can leave your house quickly and have enough to get by for a few days. If you are in an area with high fire hazard severity zone, that's hard to say, make sure that you have completed your defensible space work by June 1st. We will be doing inspections. And a reminder that in the event of an emergency, you can both get an evacuation warning and an evacuation order. A warning is we may evacuate this area soon, so that's the time to pack your car, get your go bag ready. In fact, if you're concerned about the time it will take you to leave your house, go ahead and leave your house at that point in time. But when you get the evacuation order, that is the time to walk to your car and leave, not the time to start packing your vehicle. Next slide. A couple QR codes. So one's a QR code to take you to sign up for CWS alerts if you have not yet. And the other one is to find your evacuation zone if you do not yet know it.
That's good information. Maybe we can get that on our webpage.
Next slide. And then last time I was here, I think I mentioned the state has released their state responsibility area hazard zone maps. They had not done the local responsibility areas at that point in time, and they just released them on February 24th. They are posted on our website. We probably should have done a QR code, but the URL is there at the very bottom, cccfpb.org/LRA-maps. That will show, there's a slide on it, so you can see what the previous maps look like and slide it over and see what the new maps look like, see where the hazard zones have changed, see if you are in a hazard zone or not in a hazard zone, if areas, you know, property, family properties around you are in that hazard zone. It is our whole county. There is a place on that website to provide public comment. If you have any comments about how hazard zones change, you can put them on the website. We're posting an open forum public comment, probably happening around the beginning of April. I think we are finalizing the date, and when it is finalized, it will be posted at that same URL. It will be held at the Board of Supervisors chamber. Next slide. That is the end of the presentation. Are there any questions?
Yes, I have a couple.
Sure.
I can't remember who told us this, if it was you or someone else, but there was a study being done on looking at number of fire stations and number of staff and do they have the right amounts and the right number of people in each area. And I know that was going to be quite a long study. Is there been much progress?
That has not been completed yet.
Okay.
Feel free to follow up and ask. I'll try to remember to reach out to you when it is. At this point in time, it's not been completed. What I will say, if you want, in the meantime, a sneak peek at what it might show, as was alluded to earlier, there's a lot of concern around the fire station going in Brentwood.
Mm-hmm.
We did a heat map showing all the calls in 2024 and by location. So, for example, the most frequent calls will show like yellow and gray and red or kind of color-coded. That is up on our website under new fire stations. So if you go to our website, there's the stations and the drop down for new fire stations. Under fire station 94, there's a frequently asked questions section. And in that section is a heat map that shows all of our calls in Battalion 9, which you're a part of. And you can kind of see location-wise why we're putting those two fire stations that we're putting in Brentwood, why we're putting them there.
Mm-hmm.
The highest calls with the longest response times in Battalion 9.
What's the pushback?
There are concerns from our neighbor, the veterans, and they're complaining about the fire station going in next to them for many reasons I don't want to speak on their behalf.
Okay.
What is...
In all honesty, it's not unusual for us to have neighbors not thrilled with the fire station.
Yeah.
I can understand that.
Unfortunately, everyone wants a fire station, just not next door.
Right next door.
And
do you have a current response time for us, for those, the two fires that were?
I did not. I remember last time I brought this up. I apologize. I can email that to you tomorrow.
That would be great. Thanks, Tracy.
Sure.
Greatly appreciate it. Any other questions?
And I assume you want the average response time, or do you just want the response times for those two fires?
Both.
Both, yeah.
Both.
Both. Then we can see what we to expect and see how it actually occurred. That would be great in reality. Knowing that the downtown Brentwood station is going to move forward because it has county support for that, I believe, and from what I understand, that should benefit us here, because then it will be the closest station to Discovery Bay for backfill, correct?
Yeah, and to be clear, actually, both stations will benefit you when they are built for a couple reasons. One, right now, with only having four stations open in Oakley, Brentwood, Discovery Bay, anytime another that your next nearest engine is tied up, i.e. an engine in Brentwood is on a call, your Discovery Bay engine, let me back up a little bit, we dispatch based on the closest available unit. So every unit has a motor, mm-hmm. which shows the exact location of the comm center, and when a call comes in, the CAD system can look at where the call is located, where all the closest units are, and dispatch the next closest unit. So if a call in Brentwood occurs and that engine is occupied and another call comes in, your engine here in Discovery Bay, that if that is the next closest unit, will be called to Brentwood to respond to that call. So by putting the number of resources in Brentwood that Brentwood needs, it will keep your engine from responding out of the area as often. And then number two, when there is a fire, we need more than just one engine to fight a fire. We need five engines and two trucks. And so it gets resources closer to you. So when the fire occurs here, yes, you
that's
have
my point,
an
yeah.
engine here, but it gets those additional resources in as quickly as possible. So if it's a rescue fire, we get manpower here as soon as possible.
Yeah, but when I first started on this board, we had 8 fire stations in our area, and now we're down to 4.
Yeah. Hopefully back up to 6 soon.
Yeah, and now that's good.
Yeah.
And the consolidation is good. I can't believe Hercules couldn't get on board when we were all getting on board, but I'm glad they're finally on board.
Looks like it's going to happen this time.
Potentially, what's the furthest distance our truck can go out of Discovery Bay?
As far as it needs to go. And there's not. How far could it be called in?
Yep.
As far as it needs to go. So, for example, if there's a residential, or let's say there's a fire in Antioch, and it pulls in Brentwood units, and then there's a call in Antioch, and there's no one available, it could go to Antioch. Now, that's not typically what we do. When there is a fire, we do do what we call move-ups. So we have a whole system that evaluates this and looks and says, where's the fire? How long are they expected to be there? And then where else can we strategically place resources? It might not come all the way here, but they might, you know, bring an engine from Concord and put it at a Brentwood station so that if something happens, you have someone to respond in that area. So we do move ups if there's a fire and there's a huge draw on resources in the area. We'll pull resources from the rest of the county.
Yeah, I realize it's a very complicated process, but but theoretically, I mean, our truck could be in Pittsburgh for whatever.
Sure.
Yeah.
And to be clear, if it's in training, I mean, our training facility is in Concord. So if it's in Concord at training and it's leaving training to come back here and there's a call and it's on the freeway and it's the closest unit, it's getting dispatched. So it's always whatever's the closest unit.
Thank you.
Excellent. Any other questions?
No. Thank you very much. Great presentation.
Thank
great
you.
Yeah, thank
very
you
good.
So
thank you. All right. Any Mac comments, questions, presentations? No. So we will go on to G, discussion on possible action regarding a date, time, agenda for Discovery Bay Town open house event.
Yes. So staff would like to host an open house event for the town of Discovery Bay residents. The purpose for this event is to provide an opportunity for town residents to come and visit various project booths to educate our residents on the improvement projects that the town will be undertaking in the next few years. Staff would invite the town's consultants to that work on our town projects. This would include, but not limited to, the building project, the cross connection project, the pipeline replacement project, landscape and park projects, the rate study 218 process and the solar project. Staff proposed a budget for the open house, which will cover any consultancy fees necessary for our consultants to be on site for 5 hours. This includes travel costs, per diem, and hourly rates for attending the event. Additionally, staff has budgeted advertising fees to help promote the event. Furthermore, staff would like the board members to be present to provide insight and guidance to their constituents during the event. I will now open the floor for any clarified questions from the board.
You mentioned advertising, and that's great. Obviously, that's key. So what are your thoughts? What are the plans?
Brentwood Press, our sign boards, putting it on the notices for the water bills, social media, and the website.
Excellent. And what dates do you have in mind?
I believe the staff report says
May 1st.
May 1st, yeah.
May 1st? Board, any comments?
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. In fact, I think maybe depending on the success of one on May 1st, that maybe we should do more than one, because we have some large projects coming up. We have some impact on rates coming up, and the more informed, we can be available to inform the public. You know, it's the word of mouth thing. I told two friends, and they told, you know, it's going to get messed up when you do that sometimes, but at least we're trying to get that information out. So I think this is a very positive thing, and I would encourage us to maybe figure out, maybe do more than one of them, you know, because they come to one, couple, some people come and they go, hey man, you gotta go. They're giving me information. And in a second wave, you might get more interest. As we know, people are busy, and they don't necessarily spend the time that they don't have the time to spend in being informed, but we want to facilitate that.
Excellent. Any other questions from the board? Any public comment?
There are no hands raised.
Oh.
Okay.
Got to do that.
Not on the phone.
On the phone. Is there anyone? No hands raised?
Yep.
Okay, we'll now close public comment on the phone and open public comment in the room.
Hey guys,
so I'm getting used to.
Again. Great, love it, all for it. I didn't hear a date, but I saw a date on the website of March 20th. Is that
May 1st.
May 1st.
Oh, May 1st.
It's in the staff report.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the agenda packet.
And we really want to, are we okay with talking about the big water replacement project at that time? I don't know. We have a PR firm working on that, right? We saw the first little tidbit about what the board got, which was cute, although a little bit South Park-ish.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment? We will now close public comment everywhere in the room. Joking.
On all media resources.
Yes. Any other questions, discussion? Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve staff's recommendation for the open house on May 1st. From 3 to 8.
I'll second.
Kelly?
Director Belcher?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Couteau?
Aye.
President Graham?
Aye. Excellent. And now we will move on to the manager's report.
Good evening. Here to give you some pictures, some information on all things February 2025. So the first slide is going to show you some photos before and after the Discovery Point. There's four islands, so I is the second island. And, you know, we've got some pictures. I think I said some, I did some sneak peek pictures last month when the trees were still a little fuller. So once all that fills in and, you know, we're through winter and everything starts to grow, I think it's going to look really beautiful. Next one, please, is one of the bigger islands down at the end. You can see it there. It was dead grass for several years. And this is the end. And once again, all that starts to mature and fill in, it'll really look beautiful. And the last one for the Discovery Point Island is, you've got that. We did take the end section that is not lawn. It's actually a ground cover. So it's on very low water. It will fill in and grow, but you don't have to, it gets very small, it will grow out. So we'll have to edge it from time to time, but very low maintenance, but it gives it a nice green area. And then the next slide. Just showing some work that we've been really keeping on top of, clipper clean of weeds, putting in that steel edging really made a big difference from them popping up and becoming hazards. So doing some cleanup in between the rain.
Hey, Monica, not to put you on the spot, but do you have any rough, any rough ideas how many hours of staff time we're going to save by the Discovery Point Island remodel?
No, I haven't put numbers together, but, you know, this, like, today, actually, that's a great point. Today's what's today? With this week, Monday or Tuesday, I think it was, I did a drive around Matt and I. A few little weeds popping up through the, we go out there and spray it.
But normally, your team goes, mows the islands, you know, once a month, twice a month?
Because we have, it's not that often, it's not even that often, because we're...
But you normally, you're...
Doing that, and it takes, you know, a full day to do two islands well. So this will be some spraying, and it'll definitely allow us to go other places and do other things. Yeah.
Monica, you know, there's a lot of new plants that you've put in. Is there any guarantees if some of the plants don't survive the winter and they don't thrive with Monarch in terms of coming back and replacing?
Yeah, there's expected to always be dead loss, especially through the winter. And once we're over and we're really into some nice spring, we'll take account. They'll come through and do everything.
Great.
The term's dead loss.
That's my term.
Is now. Is now. Monica, I loved the new update on the website showing Cornell Park. That looked great with the new everything going on there. And these pictures are fabulous. Will you be posting anything on Nextdoor and Facebook to show what's going on at the park and some of these photos to say, hey, we've done this?
Yeah.
Or did I miss
it?
We can
do that.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah. We need to get this information out there. It's great. Thank you.
Yeah, I've also ordered some street or yard signs that kind of like the political ones.
Mm-hmm.
Done a nice bright color, like what's going on type of thing. And then I'll be doing an insert so that we can reuse them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's great.
And put those throughout when we're doing different.
Good idea.
So I should have those. I ordered them last week. I think it takes about 2 weeks. So as soon as those come in, we'll pop those up around town as well.
Wonderful.
And then the next slide. I just always like to show a few of what our team is out there doing and how it makes a difference. And it just, this is to kind of go, Brian, with what we were asking about the time on, especially those bigger islands and mowing. And this on Willow Lake, it doesn't seem like much, but that whole area with three guys took, it was a solid 2 days to really get in clean because we get an awful lot of palm tree volunteers. So it takes time to pull all those and cut them if they've gotten too big. So at the playground, the small, there's the two different age sections going in. So this is very beginning, but it's coming along quite nicely. And I wish I had gotten it done before this was due, but we took down that orange. We got two good solid mows on the new seeded lawn area there at Cornell that's coming in. So the orange fencing we had, we took down. So it's just making the whole area open up and look nice. So as soon as this is done, you'll get some more pictures.
Wonderful.
I think the last one, the pictures didn't turn out, but we've been, you know, just to be festive, each kind of holiday, Valentine's Day, we turned those lights pink and red. I don't know if any of you have
I did.
Seen
it, I saw it. It was very cute.
Oh,
very
yeah,
cute.
Yeah. And that's all I have for you this month.
Wonderful. Thank you so
Thank
much.
You're
Dina?
We have one more update from another manager, and it's good news. So I'd love to have Margaret kind of pop online if she could. And share
Margaret? Margaret is the finance manager who works remotely. She's our one person.
Oh, she's coming. Okay, she's coming.
All right, sorry about that. I don't know if we made a presenter. So, yes, I wanted just to share some good news for us. One of the things that I'm very proud of is through our state association called the California Society of Municipal Finance Officers, they have an awards program for our budget, and that is showing that we're doing best practices in our budget presentation. So it's our first time submitting for the Town of Discovery Bay, and we did receive our Meritus Award. So I wanted to say thank you to the team
awesome.
For helping me support this effort to show that we are making good strides in providing good financial transparency of the way that we present our budget information. As part of the program, we also did get some feedback that we'll start to incorporate into the budget for fiscal year 25-26. So I wanted just to share the good news with you on this achievement.
Excellent.
Fantastic.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
that's wonderful. Thanks, everyone, for their efforts.
Thank you.
Okay. General
Manager. No updates this time.
Okay. Director's reports. Brian?
Okay, we had the Park and Rec Committee meeting. Should have been there, a lot of stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
But to address a special request, I will try to articulate everything that took place. So I don't forget, I'm going to go back to the agenda item here because there was a lot of items we talked about. We started off talking about the progress of the islands that we've tackled so far. And calibrated that with how much money is remaining in the Hoppin Fund. And we know going into this that the funds were limited, so we have gone pretty far on several islands and we're slowly depleting the funds of in totality. So one of the things we talked about is we have about $487,000 remaining. Doesn't give us a lot of options for all different projects in Zone 8, but we wanted to potentially move forward with one more island, the one here on the corner on Sandpoint. We figured that one is a high visible area and it'll benefit the most of all the Discovery Bay residents who pass by it. So we'll be bringing that request at a later meeting for the to allocate those funds. And we talked about some other some other projects that were proposed. One was at some point doing some work on Sandpoint as well, not the island, but the roadscape between the island and Discovery Bay Boulevard. At this point, until I think that development resolves all their sound wall issues, that's not a good direction for us to go. And let me talk about still some existing money from the Prop 68 grant. So Monica is going to has to request those funds from the state, and so she's going to put a request in. It's not a lot. It's about $25,000. If those funds are rewarded to us, and they've already been rewarded to us, but they still have to approve the project, one of the options was talking about doing a cornhole type little course next to the barbecue area where the new seeded grass is. So just another amenity that we could bring to the park. And at the end of the day, there's not a lot of existing money left from the Prop 68 grant, so it's something. Then we also talked about the security of Cornell Park. Monica looked into getting some potentially doing the bollards, you know, those pieces that bolt into the ground so people can't drive their vehicles and destroy. But as we're finding out, it's not just vehicles, it's not just trucks, it's, you know, it's golf carts, it's motorcycles, it's scooters. So securing the park in totality with obstructions probably is not the most cost effective, and it really doesn't make a lot of sense. So we'll probably revisit this at a later point. Maybe when technology catches up and camera systems become more, you know, a possible solution. I think that's...
Yeah, that was great. Thank you.
Oh, actually, and there was one other item that was approved. In Zone 9 at Ravenswood Park, there is going to be a small Monarch program over there as well. There's a good shot.
Thank you.
I think I got them all.
Thank you.
Kirk.
Thank you.
Right. Water, Wastewater Committee. Kevin?
Yes. Yeah, so we received updates on four different projects that are ongoing or are about to start. One of them is the lift station repairs in Village 4, which is out at the lakes. And those were the latest to be put in, but now it's they've in their cycle of life. It's time for them to be... do some rehabbing, so there's some logistics that have to occur as we bypass those at the, from giving them the ability to get the pumps out and get them fixed and get them repaired. So we've got an update on that. We're getting scheduling from our contractor on that. Also out here, I think we talked to you guys about the low spots that were out here between driveways. That project is going to start here pretty soon. That we have a meeting with the contractor to get that going. We think that that's only going to be a couple of weeks of disruption, but we think we're going to be able to keep both driveways open, which is good. And probably with that center lane in the street, we probably will be able to keep traffic going in both directions. Maybe temporarily have to close that depending on what access we need. Well 5, our contaminated well over by the storage units, we've been approved by the state to get that sealed off. You can't just abandon a well because it could feasibly contaminate the aquifer, so you have to fill it and abandon it, and we've gotten permission now from the state to do that, and so that project will be coming up. And then our new geographic information system is Aaron is working with his team to get all the data into that so that so they don't have to look at 3 sets of blueprints to find one manhole. Because the town was built in such different phases, we're finally getting to the point where we can bring the whole thing together on one electronic database so we can see the entire system and be able to better record and maintain and facilitate repairs in the system. And that system is coming along very well. We contracted that out a while back and chose a system. And that was all we had in water wastewater.
Thank you. That was excellent. Ashley, Kevin, on the Finance Committee.
Oh, yeah. So we had a Finance Committee meeting today, a special committee meeting. We went and extensively went through the rate study with Allison and General Manager Breistein and Margaret. It's something that I think has been thoroughly thought out and has looked at many different realms of what needs to be done to help us get where we need to get within our town, but it has also been very keeping our constituents and our members of our community in thought with what that looks like. So spent the majority of our time in the meeting today on that. That will be coming to the board April 2nd, and then there will be a public hearing on that as well. And then the goal is to, if there's any changes to that, have that ready to go and voted by July. June. I messed that up. For July 1st. The other thing that we did was we nominated chair and vice chair. So I'm chair, Kevin's vice chair, and then that will rotate for next year. And then we looked at the Hoffman money. And that is, I know we're not at future agenda items, but that is one of the things that we would like to bring to the agenda, future agenda items for next meeting, is to kind of look at keeping a certain reserve in mm-hmm. that Hoffman fund. So if something were to happen to the building or something like that, that we haven't extensively gotten rid of that money.
Right.
Excellent. That's about it.
Thank you so much. Meeting, training reports, anything in correspondence? No? Well, now we will go on to our Andy Panasco, our attorney, to talk about if we did. There are no plans. This is informational only. We don't want to get ahead of ourselves. If we did at some point in time decide to look into incorporation, what are the steps? What would we need to go through?
All right, so just to give you an idea, this is my first time using, we got this new software, and we have all sorts of memos about incorporation. So I took our software, and I plugged in a few memos, and it spit out this presentation. So the presentation took little to no time. So
that's wonderful.
It's your benefit. Mm-hmm. Thank you to Microsoft and ChatGPTs and all of the AIs in the world. So CSD to city, so incorporation process. So next slide, please. So starting out, we'll start out with,
it moves.
It moves, yeah, this is.
You talk faster.
Yeah. So starting with some background, community services district, what are we? So community services districts are special districts in California that provide all sorts of different municipal services, sans or except land use. So fire protection services, police services, any municipal service you can think of can be a power of a CSD, but just no land use. Here at Discovery Bay, we do water, wastewater, lighting, landscaping, parks and rec. So we do a good batch of things. And why do these districts look for this? Is they look for incorporation to gain local control. Some of the issues that we deal with here is county. County controls land use, so we have fence issues, code enforcement issues. That's one of the things that people do. You can expand your services, so if you're not getting the types of services that you want, then that's when people start to think about this. That's when these thoughts start to bubble up. County oversight. So that's kind of a high-level overview, and then we'll move into the next slide. So it's the legal framework. So there's, just as with anything, incorporation has a legal framework, and it's governed by the Cortese-Knox-Hertzberg Act. That's the LAFCO Act. So we deal with that when we do annexations of the new subdivisions. We deal in the Cortese-Knox-Hertzberg. This would be considered a change of boundary or a reorganization in LAFCO. So LAFCO is going to be the agencies that's going to be overseeing the boundary change and the reorganization of the jurisdiction. Each county has its own LAFCO. Every LAFCO has their own rules, including Contra Costa. So I looked into some of their rules. They're not terribly different than what we experienced there in San Joaquin County. They definitely have processes. They have fees for all this, which we'll get to. But the most critical piece of all of this is the feasibility study. The feasibility study is going to be the study that is going to establish that we can do this. And if we go to the next slide, we can talk about the feasibility study a little bit. So understanding who we're dealing with and how we got there, the community interest is really the first step that an agency is going to take in even embarking on this. Initial discussions with residents, stakeholders, officials are very important because if you're going to proceed down this path, it's relatively expensive. For example, the feasibility study, which is establishes economic viability, impacts on the county services, funding, how we're going to fund all these sorts of things, because when we become a, you know, in the event that we do become a city, you become a city and now you're it. It's like when you move out of the house and, you know, mom and dad aren't there anymore. We do everything. County, we do roads, police, fire, everything. So we would either have to figure out how to fund that and create our own departments or contract with sister agencies to provide those services for us. Feasibility studies themselves are in the mid to high six figures. So you're talking, you know, the, you know, about 130,000 small cities, you know, all the way up to, you know, 500,000 to you know, even nearing $1 million for a much more complicated and larger city. Hard to say what that would be here, but I would imagine you're going to be in the neighborhood of $200,000 to $500,000. So just your feasibility study.
Do you know what Mountain House's feasibility study cost?
Mountain House's feasibility study started out right around $200,000. They ended up a little bit over $600,000. a lot of things went. There's a lot of issues with that. With them, and we have some of the similar issues. We'll talk about them as we go forward. A lot of debt financing issues. A lot of Belarus issues. So it was complicated because it was very much a community like this. So community interest and feasibility studies where you start, and if we can get over that hurdle, then we submit a petition and application to LAFCO. So there's two ways that this can be done. The citizens can do it on their own. They get 25% of the voters that are here registered within the town of Discovery Bay's jurisdictional limits. They submit a petition to the LAFCO, and then the LAFCO goes ahead and starts the process. That does come with a cost, you know, so that cost will start getting bills from the LAFCO to pay for all these things, because LAFCO is not funded by anything other than the cost of their services. The other way is if we get our feasibility study back and everything's looking rosy and we think we can pull this off because the financing is all there and we've made the determinations that here's how we're going to pay for everything, we then give that to LAFCO, and that comes with some LAFCO fees, so you can contra cost it. It's $25,000 where you submit your application, and then on top of that, you pay as you go. So environmental, it's going to be actual cost plus a $5,000 deposit. You know, the public hearings are going to be pay at cost. So it's really kind of a pay at cost, but I would budget, you know, in the neighborhood, you know, just over $100,000 to $200,000 for your LAFCO application process and going through all the hearings. Because they're environmental. Environmental is going to be the heavy lift there. Once LAFCO gets there, we can go to the next slide. They're going to review it. They're going to evaluate the feasibility, disinterested for third party. These are folks that are either supervisors or appointees from various agencies, various land use agencies, and special districts. We have representation on that LAFCO as well. They're going to review this from just a disinterested. They're going to say, okay, how does this work? Can they pay for it? They're also going to put out public notices for all of the public to come and hear and comment and provide input, as it's going to affect all the sister agencies, the sister cities, any of these surrounding jurisdictions that, you know, are part of the fabric of Contra Costa County are going to have an opportunity to say something. They'll get all of that done and through their hearing process, and then they'll get a decision. And their decision will either be approve it, send it back for a little bit more work, or deny it. One of those three. So please, next slide, please. Let's assume LAFCO says, thumbs up, guys. We've gotten up, so we're through that. Now the next, and this is probably the hardest part of the entire show, and that's called Revenue Neutrality Agreement. And what this is right now the county gets most, if not all, of your property tax dollars, your ad valorem property tax dollars that are right here in the town of Discovery Bay. The older portions of the town probably have some property tax dollars coming in. Those would be the zones that we're talking about. Zone 9, is it? Is there Zone 8?
Zone 8. Zone 9 is different.
Yeah, so and then we have tax sharing agreements for our parks and recs that we've done with the county. But what the county's going to do is if we become a city, they lose that, right? So we can't be a negative impact on the county. So that would impact, you know, whether it's the sheriff's department or the roads. So we have to be able to say, well, we're going to be providing our own fire. So, you know, that's worth $1 million. So well, there's $1 million that you're not going to have to spend now. So it's, so you see what I mean? It's going to be kind of like horse trading. So you're going to have to come to a place where we're going to agree and we're going to, it's going to be level, and you're negotiating with the county. So anytime you're trying to take money away from a government organization, it's not an easy task. So this portion right here is what typically draws out these long, years-long, negotiations. That's, Mountain House is a good example of that, because they, this was a very big sticking point for the county, because the county was very involved and provided a lot of the services out there, the police services, and then they were contracting, and it was a little bit of a mess, almost fell apart, but they were successfully got over the hump. But you get through this, and it's, and really what this is long-term financial stability of the new city, and it's got to be revenue sharing, so we have to make sure that we can pay for it. So next slide, please. All right, we got past that. So we have an agreement. We have approval with LAFCO. We've done everything we're supposed to do. The last step in this whole process is the people still have to weigh in. The people still have to vote on this. We have to put it on the ballot. That's another cost. We pay for the election fully, 100%. We can, if we're lucky, we impound, add it to an existing election that's happening. If we're not that lucky, we do our own election, which is more expensive. It's a 50% plus one, so it's, low threshold vote, but you got to get the vote. If the vote passes, then you're on your path to get a city. You get, the state starts to take over, because we're no longer under the jurisdiction of the county. Now we're working through the state, because now we're our own separate land use entity that's within a county, but we are now subject to the general laws of California. So the California state will come in, and they'll start to get us hooked up with the Board of Equalization, and all these different departments will come in and dovetail with us to make it to where we're going to get off the ground. Governance, structure, departments, all of these sorts of things. Next slide, please. So that's the process in a nutshell. Challenges and considerations that we want to think about is, if this is something that is kind of a twinkle in your eye at this point as to what you're thinking about, what you want to do, it's really economics, sustainability. So thinking about how do you pay for these things. You want to look at commercial centers. You want to look at tax base. If you're not getting property tax, then you're really going to be reliant on a sales tax. Or having other taxes that you would have to impose because you just don't have that commercial center. So those are the sorts of, you might want to take a look at, Brentwood's budget or small cities' budgets and see, how much are they spending? Small cities have budgets ranging from, $4 million for a small rural city, to nearly $1 billion for a city like Stockton. So they just range in size. Here, you got 16,000 people. You can probably figure a budget would probably be in the neighborhood of $16 to $20 million, and that would be just based on, I have a city that we work with that has 5,000 people. I just multiplied it by 4 because we're at about the same, and their budget's $4 million, so 4 times 5 is 20. So that's how I came to that number. Community support, that's always, you have to have that, because remember the last stage, if you spent all of this money and then you didn't get the 50% plus mm-hmm. one, you just spent nearly $1 million for, basically a boondoggle, just kind of a fool's errand. And then infrastructure and transition and planning. So, the one thing that you do have going for you here is your water, wastewater infrastructure does, you do that. That is your bread and butter here. The other issues are, police, fire, and then you have to get a whole land use division with public works, and you've got planning commissions. So all of these sorts of things start to think about, how do we do that? Little cities, fledgling cities that start out, they typically will start contracting with the county, mm-hmm. and the counties will offer that help, but that's short-lived. Because that's just you burn that wick, and then they're expecting you to start flying on your own. Next slide, please. So a couple of examples. We brought up Mountain House already, but I'll give you a little bit of background. This is California's newest city. It's right here. How do we get here from here? That way, yeah, that way. I'm just turned around. So we used to be general counselors, so we mm-hmm. were pretty intimate with Mountain House and before they became a city. We no longer work with them, so I don't have all that. But their issues were financial viability. They had some debt obligations because they're a developer-driven master plan community. So developer-driven master plan communities, as we all know, community facilities districts, bonds, because they're a CSD, they don't typically tax. So their debt financing a lot of what they did. And that debt financing makes it complicated when you move over because you've got folks that you owe money to, and now you're going to incorporate. Well, you're essentially dissolving a corporation and creating a new one. So we've got to create these bridges from that debt, that old debt, to this new debt. So that gets very complicated because all these assignment provisions, you have the SEC involved because these were publicly sold bonds. So that gets pretty sticky. Also, service transition issues they had over there in Mountain House, the county, they were contracting with a lot of their, they had a lot of powers. They had almost every power except for land use. They were contracting with the county and they wanted to create their own department. That caused a little bit of strife and that really hurt them in their revenue neutrality agreement. That took a long time because the county was saying, we're providing you all these services, we're already contracting. They wanted to reopen those negotiations so you can just, tough. Another one that's more like us, it's a small community called Drupa Valley, and they incorporated in 2011. They were a CSD, and they were relying, their problems were they ran into were, again, financing and revenue, but they were relying on vehicle licensing fees. So back then, at that time in 2011, there was vehicle licensing fees that cities would get, and they were relying on these to really fund that transition because they didn't have a big tax base in their commercial. They didn't have property tax, their property tax sharing agreement ended up with the county getting a larger portion than what the town wanted. Well, they get incorporated, and next thing you know, the vehicle license fees up in Sacramento, they say, well, we're not doing that anymore. So next year, they're negative $8 million. So they got into real big financial trouble.
What's their population?
Oh, it's almost exactly okay. Like here. I mean, it's like okay. 20 to 30,000. It's like okay. A river. It's over by Riverside.
Yeah.
So it's in Southern California.
Yeah. It's in Linear Park.
Yeah. But it's almost identical. Rural. That's why, it was nice that I was able to find them and they had a similar story. But they ran into significant financial troubles, had a really hard time passing measures to get, tax base come in. So that goes to your financial, your feasibility study is hopefully you're going to do a very robust feasibility study if you're going to embark on this because you want to know all these pitfalls before you start to walk down that path. You want to know where the potholes are, where the cliffs are, and then really kind of button yourself up because once you pull the trigger, it's you're on your own. There's no going backwards. So you can disincorporate, but that's not to our benefit. Mm-hmm. It's typically because of bankruptcy type issues, and we're in big trouble then. Next slide, please.
So what's the rest of the story? How'd they get themselves out of their $8 million debt?
Well, they ended up renegotiating contracting services with the county, so the county took on some debt to help them out, and they were able to pass taxes. They got a few tax issues.
Right.
Because it was public safety was the one that helped them renegotiate the deal. So in conclusion, so the steps here are really feasibility study, petition and resolution to LAFCO, the LAFCO review period, the public hearings and review, the revenue neutrality agreement, which is very, very important and difficult, and then finally a majority vote. That's in a nutshell how you get there. Sounds, easy, tight, and you're just like, hey, 5 easy steps and you'd be a millionaire like me.
Yeah.
A little bit more difficult than that. And each step requires a lot of planning, importance, stakeholders, making sure everybody's on board. It's a long-term mm-hmm. process. Mountain House, when it was developed, was intended to be a city at its master planning stage. The county had its own ordinance code drafted for Mountain House because of this intention at the outset. So there was that was the level of planning they went into, and Mountain mm-hmm. House was created, what was it, early 90s? Right about the same time Discovery Bay was in the master planning stage. Discovery Bay was what, mid to late 90s?
We were 94.
Yeah.
As a CSD.
That's right, but the development was here. We were
goes
sanitation
back to the
70s, District 19.
Early 70s, mm-hmm. late 60s when Hoffman took over.
Yeah, so there was a lot of planning. What I'm getting at with that is that there was a they were planning for this full outcome that just happened in 2024, you know, 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah, I had happened to have lunch the other day with Cosmont, who's doing some of their trying to do some of their refinancing over, and they're still struggling with how to get that developer debt taken care of, because the developers are waiting for their money still, and they haven't been getting it. So their troubles aren't over with yet.
Oh, they're a baby city. I mean,
they've
got, you know, I would say a good 5 years.
I don't know if the guy was decided he wanted to be the first mayor, but good luck.
Yeah, so Andy Sue, I work with him.
You know, yeah, I met the guy once.
So, he's the right guy for the job.
Sure.
He's been there the whole time. But they're dealing with their issues. That's absolutely right.
But like just overall, from what you said, just to do the feasibility study, we're looking at $1 million.
No, feasibility study, you know, is
yeah. But when you add like feasibility, LAFCO,
I would say if you're writing on the back of a napkin, you're at $1 million by the time you get to the LAFCO.
And they can say no, and that's like poof, like burning that $1 million.
So
that'd
here's
be awesome.
Yes.
Here's
yes
an issue that makes it difficult for us to deal with, and that is that. Since we don't have a general fund, we can't take water wastewater money to spend it on becoming a city. So where do the funds come from?
So what the law will allow you to do is it will allow you to utilize funds in a manner that is you're basically borrowing. It's a very complicated. Margaret could probably speak better to it than me. But I know that that's what agencies have done.
They would allow us to borrow from ourselves, from our reserve funds.
Yeah, because
to
finance you're doing, it? Yeah, because you're furthering the interests of the town of Discovery Bay.
Okay.
So you'd be able to do that. It's a very complicated issue, and it's fraught with disaster, because once you get over top, you can you're borrowing against yourself. You have to pay those things back. So if the water borrows from wastewater,
right.
They
nope.
have to pay
absolutely.
It and equalize it. They have to pay it back so that it's as though that money never left. So there has to be some form of interest. It's complicated. So Mountain House, same thing. They're a special district, no general fund. The only general fund they had was whatever portion of the property tax dollars they had.
Any other questions? Ryan?
No. Sounds like, though, maybe the battle isn't trying to get incorporated or become a city. Maybe our battle is trying to increase our county issue funds back to us, or adjustment of the zone revenues are collected. So.
I think in a short-term financial issue, if you're looking to get more finance to do those sorts of projects, that's important to you for your parks, because that is a drain. That's absolutely much more if you're throwing money at a corporation, you're throwing money at renegotiating your tax sharing agreement. This one's going to benefit you more than this one.
Doesn't the state control that, though? The amount that the county issues us back? No?
How
is that negotiated in the first place?
It's a Board of Supervisors thing.
Yeah, so there was negotiated in Revenue and Taxation Code 99. And when they gave those over, the parks, there was a moment in time when they said, Discovery Bay, you will take care of these parks. Here's the agreement that we'll give you, and here's the amount of money. The problem with it is that amount of money at that time may have been adequate, but that amount of money has not translated to the many years it stayed the same or grown, not at the level that labor rates have grown.
Being as young, this is hypothetical because I was not part of the town at that point, but I would believe that being as young as they were and trying to go through the process, they failed to put in any accelerators, any inflation accelerators into the plan, or the county refused to accept any, and you're over a barrel and you agree. I'm not criticizing the original board, but I would guess that was a huge faux pas.
Well, do we have any legal standing to go back and try to negotiate these things?
Well, so we've done this before in Livermore for the area of Recreation Park District there. They have this similar issue where we had some trails that were given over to the East Bay Regional Park District. And there's no obligation, put it that way. It's more of a political thing. And so you can ask them to come to the table, but you have no standing to sue them. So that's what in my world, when we have rights, we can sue on those rights. We have no right to say, we're suing you because you're not giving us enough money. They'll just say, well, the paper here says this is what you agreed to, guys. So we'd have to demonstrate that in a manner politically, like they're saying, by making inroads with our supervisor and working that route.
And from what I understand, when CSDs are formed now, they don't always get a 1% of the 1%. That's strictly...
Oh, that's absolutely true. The only ones that had a right to that money were the ones that were in existence prior to Prop 13. That's 1978. So if you were in existence, and that's where Sanitation District 19, that's why we get a portion, we do get a little bit, but we were Sanitary District 19 way back when, and then that dissolved and turned into the CST.
Which was a county, which was, San 19 was the county. Mm-hmm. The county ran San 19, so that gave us... that we were able to incorporate that into us when we became, they gave it to us when we became a CSD.
That was part of the LAFCO process.
Right, LAFCO said, okay,
and they,
you can't take that away.
Yeah, that was negotiated for the county, because the county owns the property tax, unless you're a city. And then if you're a city, you had to negotiate that with the county. But we don't have a right to, like P6 and all of that kind of stuff, those are negotiated. Those are county service areas, so that's a whole different...
Is Mountain House developing its own police department, or are they contracting back to the county?
They've contracted with the county, but and they have not started their own police department, to my knowledge. I haven't heard of that yet, but because that's a monumental... The newest police department I know of is Lathrop. Lathrop went through, and they just did it, and they're in their growing pains right now because they successfully operated for a year, and now... a year of arresting people and a year of enforcing the law. Now you're getting the claims starting to come in, and it's impacting. They're a rich city, though. I mean, they have tons and tons of dough because of their logistics and.
Oh yeah, they got a ton of warehouse. They got a ton of commercial income.
They're flush. Yeah. So they're don't feel sorry for them in that regard, but it is a difficult proposition for them politically and it's a drain on their.
But Director Graves, do you think that's something we should talk about at a future time, or what's your thoughts there, Director Graves?
Huh? What's that?
Do you think that's
going back to the county?
Yeah. Do you think that's something that this board should think about?
I think it's a great idea. I don't. The timing right now isn't right, but.
Am I asking because of your experience and then your length of the board?
I would say it would be an exercise in futility right at this point, and I just don't want to go into any detail to why that is, but.
I would agree with you.
I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
No, thank you for that presentation, though.
Yeah.
It was very informative.
That's wonderful. Thank you very much. Can I open it?
Thanks to AI.
Thanks to AI.
I'd like to open it real quick to public comment, if anyone has... Andy?
You can. It's not necessary, but you can.
I know, it's not. Is there anyone on the phone that would like to have any questions or public comment on the presentation that we just heard?
There are no hands raised.
Okay, we're closing that. Anyone in the room?
There's a hand raised.
I'm sorry, there is a hand raised. Okay. Can you tell who it is?
Bruce Hall.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. One of the people I sent it to, but he's in Mexico.
I think he got it now.
I'm sorry?
I think he got it.
Can you hear us?
Yes.
Okay, this is Bruce Hall calling. We're currently in Mexico. I have a quick question with regard to the presentation. There was a mention of a $16 million budget being necessary to carry something like this. On an ongoing basis, do we know what our current tax base is? I'm referring to if the current taxes which are directed to the county were redirected to the new city, what would that number be?
We don't have that information in front of us right now, but please take into consideration what Andy said, that it would have to be a negotiation with the county whether we got all or part. correct,
yeah,
Andy?
That's correct. And the 20 million number is a number I literally pulled out of a rabbit's, you know, out of a magic hat. That has no bearing in any of the, you know, it's just to give context. It is, you know, I think from the standpoint of what we do here, I have no idea what your budget number.
Okay.
Realistically, one cannot make any kind of sensible evaluation of this proposal, whether it ever happens or not, without that number. So we're really working blind and we have that number. I recently, a few weeks ago, I wrote to the tax department in Martinez asking for that information and did not receive a response. Is there somewhere else we should be asking?
Did you receive something from Bruce? Where did you send that to, Bruce?
He sent it to Martinez.
I honestly can't remember at this point. I'm sitting in a hotel in New Mexico.
Yeah, we don't. All right. Well, thank you, Bruce. And if we do get information on that, our town manager will get in touch with you. Okay. Are there any other questions from anyone on the telephone? With that, we will close public comment. Is there anyone in the room that has any questions or comments? And with that, we will close public comment and close the meeting at 8:12